And so I'd actually like to start today with a story. And so it goes like this. It is said that during the Second World War, some soldiers serving in France wanted to bury a friend, a fellow soldier who'd been killed. Being in a foreign country, they wanted to ensure that their fallen comrade had a proper burial. They found a well-kept cemetery with a low stone wall around it, a picturesque little Catholic church, and a peaceful outlook. This was just the place to bury their friend. But when they approached the priest, he answered that unless their friend was baptized Catholic, he could not be buried in the cemetery. So he wasn't. Sensing the soldier's disappointment, the priest showed them a spot outside the walls where they could bury their friend. Reluctantly, they did so. The next day, the soldiers returned to pay their final respects to their fallen friend, but could not find the grave. "Surely, we can't be mistaken. It was right here," they said. Confused, they approached the priest, who took them to a spot inside the cemetery walls. "Last night, I couldn't sleep," said the priest. "I was troubled that your friend had to be buried outside the cemetery walls. So I got up and moved the fence." How often do you keep yourself outside of the walls of your own heart because you judge yourself as not being good enough? How often do you keep yourself outside of your own compassion because you're judging yourself? How often do you keep yourself outside of your own love because you're unwilling to forgive yourself for something that you've said or something that you've done? How often do you bury yourself outside of those walls? You know, every single one of us makes mistakes. We make mistakes all the time. We say things that later we regret and we wish we hadn't said. We snap at our spouse or are unkind or snap at the person working the cash register in the fast food restaurant. We get self-involved and in a hurry. And when we're in a hurry, sometimes we do things like don't let the person in traffic when we're driving. Or we don't listen to someone when they're talking to us. Or we just disregard somebody and don't pay attention to them. We say that we'll do something and then we don't follow through with it and we let somebody else down. We act careless sometimes. We hurt people's feelings sometimes. We act careless and forget things that are important. Like last week, I forgot one of my really good friend's birthdays and forgot to wish her a happy birthday. In short, we do things that are careless and unkind, and we do things that, if given the chance to do them over again, we would do them differently. Can anybody relate? And what happens oftentimes when we do one of those things is then we get angry at ourselves, and then we beat ourselves up, and then we give ourselves a hard time, and we tell ourselves what no good schmucks we are and how awful and terrible we are, and then we continue for a long time, longer than the event even, giving ourselves a hard time afterwards. Does anybody do that? What happens when we do that then is we lock ourselves out of our own hearts. We lock ourselves out of our own compassion. How about this one? We lock ourselves out of our own goodwill. Yeah? And when we do that, we lock ourselves out of the good that God is. We lock ourselves out of that good that is everywhere present and filling our lives and always right where we are and available to us. We lock ourselves out of peace and joy and bliss and beauty and ease. The title of my talk today is Inside the Walls. And I'm talking about bringing ourselves back inside the walls. I'm talking about self-forgiveness and about releasing ourselves from self-judgment. I'm talking about how instead of doing that, we try loving ourselves and accepting ourselves and being gentle and caring with ourselves, because when we do that, When we are loving towards ourselves, then we are open to the lessons that there are to learn by what it was that we did. Then we're open to the growth that is calling to us. That becomes fertile ground for our spiritual evolution. Becomes fertile ground for us unfolding our greater yet to be. And so in the Science of Mind textbook, Ernest Holmes says this: life is a blackboard upon which we consciously or unconsciously write the messages that govern us. We hold the chalk and the eraser in our hands, but we are ignorant of the fact. What we now experience, we need not continue to experience, but the hand which holds the eraser must do the neutralizing work. We hold the eraser. I will blot out their transgressions and remember them no longer against them, was written by the one who saw the board, the chalk, and the eraser. That means God isn't holding anything against us. We are the ones that hold ourselves in that condemnation and in that judgment. We don't have to hold ourselves in judgment. We don't have to hold ourselves in non-forgiveness. And so this week begins Rosh Hashanah, which is one of the highest holy days this week in the Jewish calendar and in the Jewish tradition. And it is called the Days of Awe. And so what happens during the Days of Awe is it is a 10-day period of inner house cleaning. And that 10 days precedes Yom Kippur, which is the highest holy day and the Day of Atonement. That is the day where it is believed that your fate is sealed for the next year by God. So these 10 days are days to clean up whatever it is that you've done or said or the mistakes that you've made so that you come in clean, because your fate is going to be sealed and your blessings that you'll receive in the next year are going to be sealed in that covenant also. And so during the Days of Awe, people of the Jewish tradition meditate and pray and do this personal inventory. They look at who they've harmed and mistakes they've made and missteps they've taken, and then they take personal responsibility for them. They make right whatever needs to be made right. They apologize. They make amends. They clean up whatever it is that they've done in the past year, and they forgive others. Because like Harold saying, we have to break that chain of non-forgiveness so that we can be free, so that we all can be free to come forward as our better and greater selves. And so I went to a Yom Kippur service one year at a Jewish temple, and one of the things that you are given is a piece of paper that has A to Z listed with lines next to each one. And it is assumed that you have something to write on every single one of those lines for the entire alphabet of mistakes and missteps and things that you've done this year that you haven't let yourself off the hook for. So we're not expected not to make mistakes. That's part of this human adventure that we're on. And so the Jews believe that you must make amends in this material world before you can ask God for forgiveness. Well, we don't believe that we need to ask God for forgiveness because we've not been judged in the first place. God has already forgiven. But we hold ourselves in that judgment. And so in Matthew 5:23 and 24, it says, "So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go and first be reconciled to your brother, and then come offer your gift." So Rosh Hashanah is that time of reconciliation in this material world. Those that attend, those that do that inventory, those that cause their mistakes to be pardoned, the things that they've done, their transgressions, then come to the new year, because this is the beginning of the Jewish new year. They come to the new year with a clean slate. They come to the new year with a fresh start. They come to the new year open to the blessings that are available and in recognition that the divine presence is in their lives. That's how they start the new year. And so, like I said, at Centers for Spiritual Living, we teach that God has not judged us. And Ernest Holmes speaks to that again in the Science of Mind textbook. He says, "No one judges us but ourselves. No one gives to us but ourselves. And no one robs us but ourselves. We need not fear God or the devil. There is no devil, and God is love." Love doesn't judge. God is love. But when we judge ourselves, we remove ourselves from that love and from that good. We are immersed in this infinite field of love. We are immersed in this presence of limitless good. We are immersed and living the life of the divine, and that is a life of opulence and of abundance and of good without end. It is an essence of creativity and wholeness and joy. But when we hold ourselves in that negative judgment, when we hold ourselves in non-forgiveness, we pull ourselves out of being able to experience that. It's not an energetic match. When we are full of condemnation and anger and self-hatred and those things, it's not a match for the energy. They're totally different vibrations. It's like trying to mix oil and water. They can't mix. Because we must become like that we wish to experience. We must become like that which we wish to draw towards ourselves. And so if we're full of hate and contempt and self-judgment, we can't draw to us love and peace and ease and beauty. It's not a match. And so that is why part of the Catholic religion is doing confession. That's why it's a sacrament of the church. A sacrament means something that enables a person to experience grace. So confession enables people to experience the grace again, because in confession we let ourselves off the hook. We finally let ourselves be complete with whatever it is that we've said and done. It's also one of the reasons that it's such an important part of the 12-step programs. In the 12-step programs, a big part of that is doing a personal inventory and taking responsibility for what you've done and making amends and making things right. And so steps 8, 9, and 10 say, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admit it. That allows people to stay clean. That allows the person that is doing that to not have to run from themselves, to not have to self-medicate so they don't have to feel those feelings that they're carrying around for whatever it is that they've said and done in their life and people that they've harmed. It allows that person to be free of it because they leave it behind. You know, that's what repent means. It means to turn from what you're looking at and look at something different. It allows them to turn away from the guilty feelings and what they've done, to look forward and create the life that they want to create. It's powerful. And so confession in the Catholic Church and making amends in the 12-step program, or just making amends in our life, allow us to let ourselves off the hook. They allow us to begin again, fresh and new, with a clean slate, open to the blessings that are at hand, open to the abundance of good that fills this universe, present to that good, open to the good that's already ours. The infinite intends for you to thrive. the infinite intends for you to live your best life. The infinite intends for you to unfold your greatest self in this life and continue to unfold that. You're here to live this great life. And so I have a really crazy thought. What if there are no mistakes in your life? What if everything is exactly as it needs to be for your greatest unfolding, for your greatest spiritual evolution, for the flourishing of your soul? What if, as an eternal being on this eternal pathway of unfolding, there are no mistakes? And that thing that you call a mistake is really a nudge from your own spirit that says, not this way, this way. This is taking you to your greater good. What if the reason that it feels uncomfortable, whatever it is that you've done, is because it's out of alignment with your true essence? The guilty feelings, the feeling bad, feels that way because it's out of alignment with the love and the beauty and the good and the joy that is at your very essence. We've taken ourselves out of that. And so what if those feelings are really just guiding you to something greater? What if they're just taking you to a greater expression of love, or a greater experience of peace, or a greater experience of your own wholeness, or your own power? What if that mistake that you made is a midwife to giving birth to a greater self that you haven't yet been in this world? What if that mistake is really serving your soul? And so, you know, in the Olympics, they've developed a thing where they now, when the athletes perform, they get rid of their highest score and their lowest score. What if you got rid of your lowest score? What if you quit giving the same importance to your lowest score than you do to your successes? What if you gave more importance and value to your successes instead of that lowest score? Is there an area or a situation in your life where you have not yet forgiven yourself? Something that you hold on to? Can you think of something? I invite you to close your eyes for a second and to turn within to that place at the center of your being where your soul is right there. That place where the wisdom of the universe resides. The knowingness that you are, your soul. And to ask that part of yourself, what do I need to do to be complete with this? Ask that wisdom inside of you, what do I need to do to forgive myself for this? And to ask your own spirit, what is seeking to unfold through me by means of this situation? And so I invite you to open your eyes. And so will you agree to doing those things that you just got those answers to? Yes? And so as I was writing my talk this week, of course I look at all the things that I'm talking about, and it's like, where have I not forgiven myself? And there's an incident that I find embarrassing that I've been carrying around since junior high school. I was kind of a rotten teenager. But when I look back now, I look at the fact that I was in a really dysfunctional home and I was really acting out. I was being the scapegoat so everybody could focus on how terrible I was being. And one of the things that I did was I had a boyfriend in seventh grade and we went over to the junior high school where I went and he had a baseball and started throwing the ball and breaking windows in one of the classrooms. And I picked up the ball and threw it and broke a window or two myself also. And I have carried this around, and you probably, most of you know that I started this path doing 12-step work in Codependents Anonymous and Adult Children of Alcoholics and did those 12 steps and looking at where do I need to forgive myself and have done forgiveness work and realized I'm still, you could hear it in my voice, carrying this around from way back then. And so I asked myself those questions. What do I need to do to be complete with this? And the piece that I had not done is made it right. And so the day before yesterday, I got online and started doing some searching and found how I could donate to Long Beach Unified School District. And so I donated $500. Because that's what I need to do to be complete with it. That's what I need to do so I can let it go and repent, quit looking at that, and look towards this future that is filled with infinite potential. The presence within me that is infinite potential and love and beauty that I so love to bring into this world. And so my invitation to you is to make amends wherever you need to make them. Make it right, whatever that looks like in your own situation. Set it right. Say you're sorry if that's what you need to do. And then commit to not doing it again. Commit to doing your best in life. I already know that's what you're doing. And when you make a mistake, because we will all surely make many mistakes, let that just be a nudge that says when you realize I've made a mistake, not this way, this is the way you want to go. This is what you want to do in your life. And allow it to be that guiding map in your life to lead you where you want to go. So turn your attention from the mistake then and instead look to that divine presence within you of peace and of love that is taking you on this path of flourishing and unfolding and evolving and being your greatest self in this world. Ask yourself just the question you did now. What is seeking to unfold through me by means of this situation? Oh, maybe greater self-compassion. Oh, maybe greater kindness to strangers. I don't know whatever it is that you've done. But I also got that answer asking those questions. I was just a teenager. You know, teenagers do all sorts of really stupid things. And I'll have to say this too. I was telling Colleen about this, and she goes, I'll bet Ray Bunch has stories like that to tell. We all make mistakes. We've made a billion mistakes, and we'll continue to make mistakes, but let them be the guiding thing that takes you to who you want to be instead of the thing that pulls you down and keeps you stuck. Allow it to be a midwife for your own spiritual unfolding, for your own divine self to come into this world and to shine your spiritual magnificence. And then we will be creating a world that works for everyone, including ourselves. And so blessings to you on this path of unfolding your most magnificent, beautiful, and divine self in this world in a way that blesses you and in a way that blesses everyone around you. Blessings to you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so right in this moment, I answer that call from within me to remember, to turn to that infinite one that is always closer than breath and near than hands and feet, to turn my attention to that one infinite love of this universe, that infinite presence of good and this opulent good that is everywhere present. It is the very activity of this infinite one, from whence everything comes. And so I know that held in this heart and in this mind of God, there is no place of non-forgiveness. There is only absolute acceptance, absolute love, absolute support, that we are each and every single one of us believed in and carried and encouraged to bring forward this greatest self that is our very own spirit and soul. What a blessing it is to be walking this path of remembering, this path of letting go of that which does not serve us and leaving it behind. And so today we step into the light. We step into this new day free from everything that we have been dragging behind us. Free, for in this new moment, in this now moment, is infinite potential. And the presence of the infinite just calling us forward into it. How good it is to be fully present here in this moment. And so I know right now that anything and everything that is unlike this presence, unlike love, and unlike peace, simply dissipates into the nothingness from whence it came, for there is no law and no power to support it. God is the only power, and right now it is unfolding itself in and through us. And so here we are as a blessing to life and as a blessing to ourselves. How good it is to be in this energy, to be of this consciousness. And so it is with a heart filled with gratitude for new beginnings and for fresh starts and for this new year in the Jewish calendar that I say thank you, God, thank you, life, for this and so many more blessings. And so I release this prayer, and I absolutely know that it is done. And I say, and so it is.